Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable 10:30 on this Friday morning. And it's a pleasure once again to welcome the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, with Dr. Alan Chartok. Good morning, gentlemen.
Who's a gentleman?
Neither of us.
So do you like living in the in the mansion now? Your pop did. You are, it's a big place. You walk around all night long looking at the walls. Do you go out and play basketball like your dad used to do?
I play basketball. I have the dog there. I work when I'm there. And then, you know, I go down to the city a lot, Westchester, because I have the girls down, my girls down there. Right. So the balance is fine. But, you know, I work a lot. And it works. The mansion works to work. I'm right down the block from the Capitol. And people come and go. So it's very efficient.
What time do you go to sleep at night?
I go to sleep, depending, 12-ish.
Yeah.
I get up about 5-ish.
That's not enough. It would make your temperament mean-spirited and bad if you did that.
Yeah, except it hasn't, because I'm a cool dude in a loose mood, and I'm happy and peppy, and I'm bursting with love.
There you go. Okay, listen. The acting head of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, came to Troy yesterday, said that New York's green light law makes the country less safe, and that because of the law we are forgetting the lessons of the 9/11 attacks. You dismissed the press conference as political jihad. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, this is Trump immigration politics that made him president, that he hopes will make him president again. Fear and division. People who are different are bad. Different skin, different religion, different beliefs. They're bad. They're bad. They're bad. This is the fact. Let's just the facts, because I've been reading all these stories. None of them have gotten it right. We started undocumented driver's licenses. So we now have a database at the Department of Motor Vehicles that has driver's licenses who have social security numbers and therefore citizens, and driver's licenses without social security numbers, which would suggest they are undocumented. ICE wants this database like they want oxygen. Why? Because if you get that database, Alan, you can just pull up all the drivers without a social security number, and it's shooting fish in the barrel. You have the picture, you have the address, and you know they're undocumented. This is ICE and Custom Border Patrol. They have a mandate from Trump, arrest all undocumented. Under Obama, it was undocumented who are guilty of a crime. Trump changed it. Get every undocumented out of the country. So they want all undocumented. It's now sitting in this DMV database. The state law says we can't give them the DMV database. That's the state law. I said I will give to the FBI any criminal information. I'll give them the global entry information. I'll give them driver's license information. And I would give them anything but the social security numbers. The social security numbers are the indicator of documented or undocumented. And I will never give them the social security numbers in the DMV database. Over my dead body will I do that. Because that's why ICE wants it. Precisely why I don't want to give it to them is precisely why they want it. I'll give them anything else. They can have the DMV database, just not with the social security numbers.
Do you think the people are with you on this? I mean, is your position tenable in terms of people thinking, well, you know, maybe people who are undocumented shouldn't be here and we shouldn't be doing this extra stuff for them?
I think a percentage of the population, because Trump is president, says, get those undocumented people out of the country. I don't want the undocumented people. I don't want them going to my hospitals. I don't want them going to my schools. I don't want them here. Arrest them all. Get them out. Now, Moderate Republicans never said that, by the way. Senator McCain, God bless his soul. They all had proposals where for those undocumented who were here, there was a path to citizenship. And that's what Obama was working with the moderate Republicans on. Okay, so the ones who are here, who have families, who have children, who are doing nothing wrong, rather than try to run around the country and evict, who is ever number, 8 million people, let's give them a path to citizenship. Trump has taken the extraordinarily eccentric point of view, no path to citizenship. I want them evicted. And they can be totally law-abiding people, Alan. They could be here for 15 years. They can have kids here. They can be contributing to the economy. They can be good members of the community. He wants them out. Yes, there are a certain percentage of people who agree with Trump. I think moderate Republicans, I think Democrats tend to say, if they're here and they're not doing anything wrong and they're not criminals, why don't we find a path to citizenship? And I think they agree with me. I think for sure the majority of New Yorkers would agree with me. Again, they're not criminals. They didn't do anything wrong. They're living their lives. And you want to come back and take a father and a mother, pull them out of the family, and leave the kids. And then, by the way, who takes care of the kids?
Yep.
So that's Trump's theory. I will not give them the DMV database with the Social Security numbers.
Are they going to start playing really, really rough with you? I mean, rough enough by not letting people go across the border is the easy way. Will there be other things that they'll do?
I am sure they will continue to try to extort us because this is extortion. This is, you won't give us the DMV database? Okay, I'm going to cancel the Trusted Traveler program, which has nothing to do with the price of tea in China.
No.
I said, I'll give you whatever you want on Trusted Travelers. Okay, we're canceling New York's ability to export cars from New York, automobiles. What the hell does that have to do with anything? Well, we're creating pressure on you to extort you. Could they take another step? Well, we won't accept your driver's licenses at airports. I don't know what they would do, but I believe these are people who would do anything. I think they took the failure of impeachment as a liberation for extortion. Everybody knew what they did at Ukraine. You want the $300 million? Investigate Joe Biden. They got away with that. Okay, now I'm going to pardon Vindman and I'm going to pardon Soneman and any of the defectors. Okay, now I'm going to pardon a whole slew of people for Mike Milken and Di Bartolo. I'm going to all these white collar guys, which I believe is a setup for the next set of pardons.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Stone, Paul Manafort. And I believe this was just window dressing for the next. So they have been emboldened.
So what do you make of the fact, I'm sorry, Governor, but what do you make of the fact that he keeps getting away with it and that the Republican rank and file won't budge away from him no matter how despicable some of his actions are?
He has to be beaten in the presidential election. And people have to call him out for what it is. And that's why I'm still arguing, please, somebody listen to these facts. I will give them the DMV database, anything they want, but I'm not giving them Social Security numbers. What could be more reasonable than that?
Do they want
what
reasonableness?
More reasonable?
Do they want reasonableness, or do they just want to make
no,
a point?
But the world has to say, this is wholly unreasonable, and we reject it. We're in this mode, Alan. We're like, every day it's Groundhog Day. Can you believe what he did today? Can you believe the pardons today? Can you believe Ukraine? Can you believe Vindman? It's the same movie you're watching every day. Of course I believe it. How can you continue to be surprised? It's the same thing. It's arrogance. It's I get away with it, and so I can. I'm the chief law enforcement officer. It's the same movie every day. We have to call him on it. They say they want me to compromise with them. They don't want to compromise. They want capitulation. I said from day one, I will give you the DMV database. I will never give you Social Security numbers. Period. Period. And I will never give them Social Security numbers. I'll give them anything but, because as long as they don't have Social Security numbers, they can't do undocumented people.
Let me change subjects, if I may. You said yesterday you're going to travel to states that have recreational marijuana already to study what they've done. When and where are you going? I take it you're coming to my state of Massachusetts?
I'm going to do... Look, we now have a marijuana proposal. What legislators tend to do is they tend to propose the perfect, even if the perfect is impossible or inconsistent, right? Legislature is deciding what car for the state fleet to buy. It should be fast as a Maserati, but it should get the gas mileage of a hybrid. It should handle like a sports car, but it should handle hold 12 people. It should be very shiny, but we never want to have to wash it. Yeah, I know, except that doesn't really exist. You can write that law, but that doesn't really exist.
But I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I don't get it. We have a wonderful marijuana law, I think, in Massachusetts that we're not getting any headlines about terrible things happening, and yet you're going to do this tour. Look, this is in the Empire State. It's where FDR, came up with good ideas that the rest of the nation copied. Why do you have to travel?
If you read about the states that have done it, you will find criticisms. We want to implement it fast because we want to give licenses to the medical marijuana companies that now exist. But we want minority ownership of businesses. Well, those two are inconsistent. We want mom and pop stores, but we want them to pay union wages. Well, that's inconsistent. We want money to go to social equity, but we want a major tax rate. The devil is always in the details. This Democratic Party, we're now in these broad brushes. I have a plan. I have a plan. I have a plan. Yeah, does it make any sense? Is it feasible? Can you make it happen? And these states that have done it have had to go back and fix it.
Oh, I think Massachusetts, I haven't seen that in Massachusetts. I think everybody's pretty happy.
There have been issues in Massachusetts. So I said, let's do intelligent for change, okay? Let's not do political knee-jerk. Let's do intelligent. Let's go look at where they did this, find out what happened after they did it, what they had to fix, how did they figure out the law enforcement problem. There is no test, by the way, to find out if you are driving stoned. What do you do about that?
Yeah, but why do you have to go to Massachusetts? Why don't you just do it at your desk in the big old mansion? I mean, there's plenty of room.
Because people who have done it actually can tell you what they ran into.
Call them on the phone.
National Governors Association. No, because you want to talk. I want to talk to their law enforcement officer. I want to talk to the head of the Illinois State Police and say, how did you do this? How do you do the enforcement when you pull over a guy who you think is on marijuana? I want to go to Colorado, which, by the way, we talked to the Colorado person who was sent to New York for a symposium we have. There are lessons to learn. And if we're going to do it, let's do it right, and let's learn from all the other examples. I mean, that's only smart.
Sounds like maybe smart sounds like a stall to me. I mean, you've been all over the map on this one. First you were against it, then you were for it. Now, this is just one more stop on the trip.
Yeah, that's your cynicism, which you just can't control.
It's true.
I also said I want to get it done April 1. So all of this would have to happen by April 1.
Well, you better get moving.
Yeah, I will. I move fast. I work all the time. I move fast. I was against it at one time. By the way, everybody was against it at one time. You were against it at one time. You were against it at one time.
Who told you that?
Oh, you weren't against it 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What? I don't know. My memory isn't that good.
Oh, no, your memory's good when you want it to be good. Were you against it 5 years ago?
Don't remember. I think I've been for it for a long, long time.
Were
I can tell you that much.
10 years ago? Were you against it 10 years ago?
Now you're taking advantage of a poor old man whose memory is not that good.
To the best of my recollection. To the best of my recollection. I'd like to have you on the witness stand.
I'm changing the subject.
Yes, I know why. You got killed on that one.
Judith Ank asked me to ask you this question, the brilliant environmentalist. Yesterday we learned that the Nerlite toxic waste incinerator in Cohoes has been burning old firefighter foam containing PFOA. The toxic PFOA is coming from the U.S. Department of Defense. There was no environmental impact statement and no environmental review, and the Department of Defense did not inform the state or local government officials. Your Department of Environmental Conservation could issue a regulation prohibiting the burning of these chemicals in New York. Seems sensible. When will you do that?
Where is this happening?
Cohoes.
Who says it's happening?
Well, we know it. I mean, Judith Ank wouldn't ask me to ask you this question. If it weren't happening, it's happening.
Okay, so Judith Ank says Cohoes is burning old firefighting equipment that is releasing PFOA.
Right.
Okay, would you have me now, based on what you said, Judith Ank said, should I issue an order now on the radio?
Well, at the very least of which you could just say, okay, Alan, you know, I'm going to do an investigation about this, and if it's so, I'm going to put a stop to it. How's that?
But that's not what you asked me. You didn't ask me, would you investigate this? You said, when will you stop it? That was your question.
Well, assuming that it's so, I hear what you're saying, but assuming it's so, and I have no doubt that it is, will you stop it?
I will investigate it. I would get the facts before I made a declaration.
You're going to get the facts. If it is so that that's happening and people are concerned about, you know, dying and getting ill, wouldn't you just simply say, yeah, if it is, then we'll cross the bridge and we'll do what we have to do? Wouldn't you say that?
Of course I would, because that's the intelligent response. Which was not the question you asked initially, is, will I stop it based on your secondhand information?
Oh, boy.
Just so we're clear.
Oh, boy. Let me ask you this. We saw, you mentioned it, these pardons coming down. You have pardoning power. The president is pardoning his pals. Have you ever thought of doing that, pardoning people who you find politically advantageous? I mean, would you do that?
No.
Great answer.
It's wrong. No, it's wrong.
And how does he get away with it?
Because he gets away with it. Because the country, first of all, I don't believe he gets called out on it. I don't believe we report with enough clarification about how egregious and outrageous what he's doing and how it often violates the law. And we have people in this country who are so cynical about government, and they think they're all liars and they're all crooks. So what's the difference anyway? He's our crook.
The Senate Democrats are worried about the upcoming elections, as they should be, I believe, and holding the chamber this fall. What do they have to worry about? I mean, let me take a look at it. Marijuana is one issue, but of course the bail reform is another. You've said we had to tweak the bail reform, but that doesn't seem to be happening. Speaker Hasty is opposed to that. What if the Democratic House falls? You know, Governor, I've always worried about you a little bit in that I've always thought that you were very comfortable having the Republicans holding it so that they could be the bad guys. So what are you going to do about not letting this happen?
What are you drinking in the morning, man?
And that is, just for the other thing. But go ahead.
Yeah. The first of all, we had a Republican Senate for about 40 years, right? My father had a Republican Senate for all 12 years.
And I think you both liked it.
Yeah, okay. 40 years is because we liked it, not that having anything to do with elections and people voting.
Well, a gerrymandered legislature, we know that, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
The I worked incredibly hard and spent a lot of money and a lot of time electing a Democratic Senate. The only items that I had not accomplished in my own selfish legacy were items that I couldn't get the Republican Senate to pass. Democratic Senate came in. We have passed everything that I promised to pass. Okay? Everything. So I can now get on the radio with a cynical reporter and say, I did everything I said I would do. I can now go to the pearly gates with a clean conscience. So we passed all those great things. Minimum wage that I couldn't get passed, and a woman's right to choose, LGBTQ laws. So the Democratic Senate liberated me. Second component of your question, they're worried. They should be worried. Good news is they have Trump at the top of the ticket, and I believe this is going to be an anti-Trump year. The bad news is you can have splitters. And there are controversial laws that they passed that have raised questions. Bail reform is one of them. Women's right to choose is one of them. Catholic Church. Catholics, very upset. They think the women's right to choose law goes too far. The undocumented driver's licenses, the Trump people hate that undocumented driver's licenses. That's the conversation we had before. Mm-hmm. That then dovetails into this ICE issue. They're doing this ICE issue. It's not a coincidence that the ICE director came up and started screaming about public safety.
That was all about you, wasn't it? That was to get, you know, because, you know, you take a different view of it, and you got sent up there.
No, Alan, that was to dovetail with bail reform. That's the Republican argument. The Democrats are releasing criminals. They're releasing criminals with bail reform, and now they're releasing criminals by not letting us check on the undocumented. Bail reform and the ICE director are singing from the same choir sheet.
Well, I hear that. That's interesting. But why doesn't Speaker Hastie seem to agree with you on that? In other words, if bail reform is going to cost you, and if they're taking advantage of it, and they are, and the Republicans are, why doesn't the Speaker say, okay, for the good of, and he has his own conference to worry about, why doesn't he say, for the good of it all, we'll just put a stop to this and make some tweaks?
Oh, because you know the answer to that. New York is a diverse state. The assembly members are primarily downstate New York, more minority members downstate New York. They are more happy with the bail law. The Senate runs in more marginal districts. They're worried about general elections. The assembly's worried about primary elections being attacked from the left. The Senate's worried about general elections being attacked from the right. That's why these Trump attacks and bail reform resonate more with the Senate on Long Island, Hudson Valley, upstate, than in New York City.
My point exactly. Don't you want to protect them, all your fellow Democrats in the Senate?
Yes, and that's why I have said we're studying bail reform. We're getting the data. I don't want to respond to politics and to hype and to all these overblown anecdotes that turn out not to be true. But I said this was a major change. And when you make a major change, you then have to step back and see how the body reacts to that change. And it's very often that intelligence says you now have to make a recalibration and adjustment to the major change you made. That's any system, education system, healthcare system.
Yeah, but Hasty isn't going along. He's not going along, and you are a tough guy. I know that. And you know how to get what you want. And here you say, well, you know, I asked for it, but I didn't get it. Tough noogies and all the rest of it. Why can't you just, you know, put the heat on?
What are tough noogies, by the way?
It's something that comes out of your head when you...
Tough noogies.
Yeah.
I remember that in grade school, tough noogies. I just don't remember what it was.
There may be other interpretations. All right.
I said I am discussing that with the Senate and the Assembly. I think we'll have a conversation completed by the budget. I hope we do. And I hope we come to an agreement.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Hasty's pushing you around. I think he seems to be the more powerful of the two of you.
Well, that could be. That could be. But look, we have a lot of issues that we have to get done by the budget. There's a tremendous incentive to get the budget done. Why? Because if we don't get the budget done, not only do we look bad to the people in the state, that's our constitutional responsibility, and we've done it every year for 9 years, and we set a new pattern, which you never gave me credit for. Nobody could get a budget done. They never got a budget done. It was government dysfunction.
Who didn't give you credit? I gave you credit. I gave
you
credit.
You have never given me credit.
You don't. You read every column I write? You know what I say on the radio all day long? You would have no time. And by the way, when you're traveling, you know, to these other states to find out how they're handling marijuana, who's negotiating the budget?
The budget... I'm negotiating the budget. I can travel and talk at the same time. And there's a tremendous incentive to get the budget done on time, because if the budget isn't done on time, it's an embarrassment for everyone involved. On a parochial level, nobody gets a raise. My commissioners don't get a raise. The assemblymen don't get a raise. The legislators don't get a raise because they failed in their constitutional duty. And I've said that to the people of the state. We don't do a budget on time. My own people don't get a raise.
Well, we're
and
out
the
of
the assemblyman don't, and the legislature.
We're out of time.
And Alan Chartok does not get a raise.
The next
because
time
the budget's not done on time, it's because Alan Chartok did not ask the right questions at the right time, so he doesn't get a raise.
I'm sure a lot of people will be saying that. Next time when we get together, we'll talk. If there is a next time, we'll be talking about Hiram Montserrat and whether he should be allowed to run for political office again after having been thrown out, but now he's doing it again. You want to give me a yes or a no?
No.
It's always a great pleasure to speak with Governor Andrew Cuomo.
No budget. No raise, Alan Chartok.
Walking
no
around,
budget, no raise, Alan Chartok.
Walking around the big mansion
no budget,
all night
no
long.
No raise,
great
Alan Chartok.
Great to talk to you, sir.
No budget, no raise, Alan Chartok.